Chapter 10. The Sixth Year. With 4 years on the island, I ran out of ink to keep my journal. Also, my clothes hung in tatters. The weather was so hot I little needed clothes, but I could never quite bring myself to do without. I had always saved the skins of the creatures I hunted, and I decided to use them for clothing. I was not a skilled tailor. The hat I made to keep off the sun and the rain made me glad of having no mirror to see myself. I made a waistcoat and breeches open at the knees. I wore them loose that I might stay cool. I must have looked frightful in my hairy clothes, though neither dog nor parrot complained. After this, I made myself an umbrella to keep heat and rain off. I had to make several before I hit upon a way to make it go up and down. With clothes and protection from the sun, I turned again to boat making. I made a smaller boat and took care to build it close to a stream that led to the sea. I fitted up a little mast to my boat and made a sail out of the ship's sail I had kept. I made little boxes for either end of the boat where I might store provisions. I cut a long, hollow place inside the boat to rest my gun. Then I fashioned a flap to cover it and keep it dry. After several short voyages, I decided it was time to sail round the island. I packed barley cakes, parched rice, and dried goat. On November 6th of my sixth year on the island, I began my sail around it. It took longer than I expected, as rocky shoals required me to sail far from shore in several places. At one point, I brought my boat close in, I anchored and climbed a hill to see the shoreline ahead. A fast current rushed behind the rocky shoals. I feared I might find myself caught in the current and pushed out to sea, so I stayed on the shore. On the third morning after setting anchor, the sea lay very calm. I decided to sail. Soon I found myself caught up in the current. Neither sail nor oar could control my craft. I was certain I would be driven into the sea and be lost. I fought to get as close to the shore as I could manage, but with each passing moment the distance seemed to grow wider. Finally, the wind picked up and my sails filled. At the same time, a group of rocks seemed to split the current. I rowed the half that pushed closer to the island. When I finally gained the shore again, I fell on my knees and thanked God. I slept, having been exhausted by the trip. I struck out again the next day, but hugged the shore tightly. I was determined not to be pushed to sea again. Finally, I spied a natural harbor where my boat could rest safely. I docked there and went ashore. I found myself on the part of the island nearest my small valley. So taking nothing from my boat but my gun and my umbrella, I hiked to my country home. I barely made it inside before I collapsed in the shade to sleep. Hours later, I was wakened by a voice calling,
"Robin! Robin! Robin Crusoe! Where are you? Where are you?"
I woke in some fright to spy my parrot, Paul. The bird peered at me and flapped its wings before asking,
"Where are you, Robin Crusoe?"
I could not imagine how Paul had gotten from my fortress home to my country home, but I was delighted to see him. He seemed overjoyed to see me as well.